If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to, I'm going to trip y'all up this morning, Isaiah chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 11. But let's go to Isaiah chapter 5 first. That's where we're going to start out. And I'm going to refer to Revelation chapter 11. Let's stand and honor reading God's Word. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. The thing about what we're going to talk about this morning is Revelation chapter 11, which is where we left off preaching through Revelation. And we're going on Wednesday night through the book of Isaiah. And as I was studying it last week, the Lord reminded me that chapter 5 in Isaiah is prophesying Revelation chapter 11. So we're going to start out in chapter 5. We may go to Revelation chapter 11, but we will get there. When I get back off vacation, we'll get back in Revelation and finish the book. But Isaiah chapter 5 says, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stone, and planted it with the choice vines. He built a tower in the midst, and also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I pray right now, Lord, as I stand behind this pulpit, Lord God, as Brother Mike said last week, standing on holy ground. God, I feel your precious spirit in this place this morning, Lord God, and I know that there's people here, Lord God, that don't know you, Lord God, and I know there's Christian people here that are confused with all the things that's going on in the world, Lord God, and Father, I know that you want to remind us this morning, Lord God, that you're in charge and that everything happens for a reason, and God, that you have us in your hands, Lord, and Father, just pray that as we open up this word, that you speak through me and use me as a mouthpiece unto your people. Father, for your glory and not for mine, Lord God. And Father, I pray, as we pray just then, Lord God, that if there be one in here that doesn't know you, Lord God, and they feel that tug at their heart this morning, Lord God, that they accept you as their Lord and Savior, Lord. Father, we praise you. We honor you. We pray again for those that are sick, Lord God, for those that couldn't be here this morning, Lord. And Father, I just pray for this world and God, the shape that it's in, and God, knowing that your heart hurts. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, in the very beginning, God created man. As you go to Genesis chapter 1, God created man. And then he created woman. And the Bible says that he created man in his own image. And in Genesis, God looked down on mankind and he said, he made him sick at his stomach. And he began to look for one righteous man. And he found Noah, and Noah built the ark, or there never had been any rain, faithful to do it, and the Lord sent a flood. And in Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah is prophesying things that are going to happen in the future. And as I said, chapter 5 is exactly what Revelation chapter 11 is saying, but it said, the Lord is talking. And he said, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding the vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill." Way back, the children of Israel were in Egypt. Moses brought the children of Israel. He delivered them to the promised land, which God is talking about. And this and Revelation chapter 11 is speaking about the Jews. And you say, what do we want to talk about the Jews for? Well, once you become a child of Jesus Christ, you are adopted. You are a child. You are his child. So he's talking to the United States of America. He's talking to every one of us. And I want you to see this morning, God loves us. God loved us so much that he sent his son to the cross to die for. But God, I mentioned Genesis, God has made in the image of man. And so God has made this world. He has created this world, and he calls it here. Now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding the vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard, and it's set on a hill. And he's talking about the city, the old city of Jerusalem. It's set on a hill. That's where God's people at the end of time, the Jewish people, and a lot of them have returned. They started returning back here in the 60s, returning back to the Holy Land to establish everything that God wants established. But that city, being one of the most beautiful places in the world, in the Middle East, is a city that is not doing the things that God has told them to do, just like the United States of America is this morning. God is looking down and he's saying, my beloved, my this country, this world that was set out, I set everything before you. It was beautiful. It is perfect. Everything was perfect. And you let sin come in and tear it down because you were not doing the things that I wanted you to do. And he spells out exactly what he does. He said, I built a tower in its midst. I built a tower. What's a tower? A tower is used for to look out. A lookout, a tower to make sure everything is okay, to make sure they're protected. And I also made a wine press in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Think about this world, the condition of this world. Think about from Genesis to Revelation. Even after the flood, think about what man has done. Think about what the children of Israel have done. Think about what you and I have done. God expected us because he sent his son to the cross to die for our salvation and gave us the most beautiful land that there ever could be. He established Jerusalem over there. He established the United States of America, founded on God. He gave us everything that we needed. And he says, so I expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it has brought forth wild grapes. Think about the condition that this country's in this morning. Think about the condition of Israel this morning, the state of Israel, the city of Jerusalem. Everything over there is as messed up as it is right here. Look at our country, people, this morning. Look at the unfairness in this country. I'm not getting into politics, but God said that in the last days that these things are going to happen, and that he wanted us to He wants us to know that he's in charge, but he wants us to be aware of him. We live in a country this morning where one of our presidents have indicted him, and the sitting president has done the same thing that he done. It's two-sided. You see, God expected us. He said, straight and narrow is the way. And what we have to do as God's people is to give it all to God and forget about all this mess in the world. But God wants us to know. And God said, I expected you to do better. I really did. You know, go to Hebrews chapter 11. It talks about this great cloud of witnesses. Moses, all the people throughout the Bible, even Samson, people that were a great, he expected all of us to follow their teaching and what they prophesied, but we didn't. He said, I expected to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Think about it. This country not wild this morning? I'm telling you, this country, people, the only hope that we have this morning is in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no hope other than God. There's no hope. This country is at the verge. I mean, I can see that if war don't break out inside this country, Americans against Americans, I'll be surprised. Because this country is in a mess. And God said, this country was founded on the United States of America was founded on God. Israel was founded on God. Remember the covenants they brought across the river? It was founded on God, yet we have made God, just like in Genesis, I think in chapter 3, God looked down on man and it made him sick at his stomach. God is looking down on the United States of America, on the world this morning, and it has made him sick at his stomach. Verse 3 says, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, O inhabitants of the United States, each and every one of us, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judea, judge please between me and my vineyard." Think about that. He's saying, inhabitants of the world, choose between me and the world. That's what he's saying. He said, I gave you this world. I intended for it to be to flourish, that we have, that we've man and woman come together, that fruitful, that the land is blessed with children and grandchildren and all this, but you have made it a mockery. You have failed to do what I made it for. And so now today you can make a decision. Today is the day of salvation. Today, he said, now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, of the United States, of Oakhurst Full Gospel Church, of the state of Texas, of the United States of America, men of Judea, judge please between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done? What God's saying, what more could I have done? What did God do? He gave us this world. He gave us his son to die on the cross at Calvary. He gave us Jesus Christ. He said, what more could I have done? I gave you my son, and you have denied my son. We can talk about Muhammad. A kid can wear a turban on his head. A kid can wear any kind of emblem about any kind of God that they serve. They can wear a t-shirt with two men kissing and two women hugging, and it's fine. But you let them wear a t-shirt with Jesus Christ on it, and they send him home. Is that right? God said, you have made me sick at my stomach. That's what he's saying. Y'all quiet this morning. Think about what God is saying. In chapter 3, in verse 3, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and Judea, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done to my vineyard that I have not done?" What more could God do than to send his son to the cross to die? And if we feel that tug at our heart, and we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are saved. It's done. But we don't even do that. And once people say, "Oh, I know Jesus. I put Jesus first." Look out here this morning. People are doing everything in the world but what they need to be doing. There's a verse that touches on that here in just a minute. They do everything that they want to do like Jesus is secondhand. But, and Jonah tell me don't say this, but I say it every time. You let something happen and I might not have saw in church in 6 weeks. You let something happen and they call Brother Glenn to the hospital, to the funeral home, pray for our family. And soon as the funeral's over or they get well, they don't need Jesus no more. And that's what God is saying. You have made me sick at my stomach. And today, people of Oakhurst Full Gospel Church, people of the world, you make up your mind what you're going to do. Because I'm getting sick of it. That's what God is saying. That is exactly what Isaiah is prophesying. He is saying, what more could I have done? What more could he do? You know, I've talked with parents that, I had parents that lived in Palestine, and the lady's sister was my piano player in Milliken. Three boys got killed one night. And I heard them parents, I heard that daddy, and I had to go to Palestine with the lady's husband to tell her parents that her 16, 15, and 18-year-old boy got killed in a car. And that man said, "I have done everything that I could think to do to these kids, for these kids." You may have a kid out there that's wild and gone astray, and you may feel just like Jesus. But Jesus Christ don't never give up. He loves them to the day they take their last breath. But God is saying, what else could I have done? What can I do this morning? What else? And I think about it sometimes. What else can I preach but the Word? God says preach the Word, and that's what the Word said. Now, you might not like it. You might want to go to one of these churches that they say what you want to hear, and everything's going to be hunky-dory at the end. It's not going to be. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're going to bust hell wide open and burn for eternity, and that's it. There's not no more ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's no theologian that can explain it. You're going to go to hell. That's all it is. And God said, He's telling the people of Israel right here and telling the people of the United States and telling you and I individual, what more could I have done that I have not done? Why then, when I expected it to bring good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? Why? Because we got away from God. I can go back to that. We talked about it a million times. When I was a kid, a bunch of us in there went to school together. Tommy and Joe and a bunch of us in there went to school together. If you got a whipping at Cold Spring School, and everybody didn't have a telephone. Before you got home, your mom and daddy knew it, and you got another when you got off the bus. You see, people believed in God, and they believed in raising their kids right. We don't care. I'm talking, people don't care no more. But they don't care. They're teaching their kids they can be whatever they want to be. You was born a little boy, but you can be a little girl if you want to, and that's okay. They teach it at school too. You just go on and you be what you want to be. God said that is not right. God created man. God created woman. There's two sexes, male and female. That's all it is. Now listen. Verse 5. And now please let me tell you what I will do. He's already said, choose this day. Verse 5. And now please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. God said, don't you know it hurts, God? Can you imagine Jesus hanging on the cross? And when he took his last breath, God had to turn his back. He had to shut the windows of heaven and turn his back on his beloved son and let him die for our rotten self. And now, and I say now, in the last days, this happens in the middle of the tribulation. And it is, Jesus is talking to the Jews in Revelation chapter 11, and he sends two witnesses who are Moses and Elijah, and for 3.5 years, they prophesy, and they are given power to do everything that they, whatever they want to do to witness for the people of God. And even in the tribulation, even in the time when the church is gone, the church is already in heaven. We're praising God. And this is still going on in the world. God still has a remnant left here. And he's trying to help his people. And he says, and now please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. Now this is, I've given you my son. In Revelation, let me read Revelation 11 right quick. Just a little bit of it. Come on, Revelation, the last book in the Bible. All right. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 says, and I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and those who worship there. But I leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. And they will tread the holy city underfoot 42 months. And I will give power to two of my witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands before God, on the earth, and that's Moses and Elijah. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, they must be killed in that manner. God coming to a point that he is through. As much as he loves us, as much as he sent his son to die on that cross, there is coming a point when God says, okay, this is the way you want it, so you have it. Now this is what I'm going to do. Has your daddy ever told you, this is what I'm going to do? Has your school teacher ever told you? Has a police officer told you when you just were rotten and no good and whatever kind of shape you was in? Look, son, I have given you every chance that I can give you now. This is what I'm going to do. And verse 5 says, and now please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its walls, and it shall be trampled down. God says, I give you that hedge of protection. I give you that wall. I give you that tower. And now because you will not worship me, because you do not believe in me, that you don't believe in my son that I sent you, I'm going to take it down. I'm going to burn it to the ground, and it will be trampled because you won't listen. God's going to do that. Daddy ever tell you something and he done it? Told you over and over and over? John used to tell the kid, if you don't quit that, I'm going to, you know, if you don't quit that, if you don't quit that, time and time and time again, if you don't quit that, and finally I'd get enough of both of them and light their butts up. And that's what God's going to do. He said, I've had enough. I've had enough. I'm going to take it away. And I'm going to break it down. I'm going to tear the wall down. I'm going to trample it. And verse 6 says, and lay the waste. And I will lay it waste. Let it go. It shall not be pruned or dug. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more. Go back to Revelation chapter 11, verse 6. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the day of their prophecy. And they will have power over water to turn them to blood, waters to turn them to blood, and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire, because God is in control and God is having enough and God is at the point, people. How much more can he take? We watch the news. We see people kill, people murder. We see people going to the checking machines in Houston and get an envelope of money and somebody follow them a half a mile and rob them and kill them for money. We see I don't care. Homosexuality, we see drugs, we see all the stuff that's going on in the world, the drunkenness, the drug addicts, the people in Hollywood, the people in Washington, D.C., they have gone completely crazy. And they looked at me this morning on the website and they said, you know, we might have to go pick that old preacher up because he's crazy. My God wasn't crazy, and my God said this right here. He said, I have had enough. I am sick and tired, and I am going to do away with it. And verse 7 says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. People get confused about that, and I mentioned in the very beginning. The vineyard of the Lord is the house of Israel. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become one of the house of Israel. You are now a Jew. You're not a Gentile no more. You're adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ because he shed his blood. Blood is what it takes to cross over to the line. Jesus died on the cross and his blood, by his blood, you were set free. But people, God has set strict guidelines for us to follow. And we're not following. And the thing about it is that we put him first. We don't put him first. We don't do what He wants us to do. We put God second. It's all about us. It's all about our houses. It's all about our homes. It's all about our job. And we don't have enough sense to realize the only reason that we're drawing the next breath is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give Him the praise and give Him the glory. Come to church on Sunday. Come to Wednesday night Bible study. Show God that you want to serve Him and serve Him, because if you don't, there's coming a day God's going to look down. And He's going to look over to His right hand and say, "Son, go get them." And when God comes, when Jesus comes in that eastern sky, them clouds, you may say, "He is out of His mind. This can't happen." Jesus is going to come in the eastern sky. Them clouds are going to roll back. And those of us who are still alive, first, the Thessalonians says the dead in Christ will rise, and then those of us who left behind will follow them, and we'll go be with Jesus. And when that happens, and also in Revelation chapter 11, the devil is mentioned, the beast is loose for the first time. And he is there to fight, have war with those two witnesses and with the rest of the world. And so that day is going to happen, people. And the only way that you're going to clear this is by Jesus. But let me tell you something. I'm going to Revelation chapter 11 now. Revelation chapter 11 is it's just like there's a football game going on, you watch it on Monday night, or a baseball game going on, you're real into, and all of a sudden, station break. That's what Revelation chapter 11 is. And for 3 years, there's going to be two witnesses prophesy to all the people in the world. It's not, we talk about Israel, it says again, in Revelation chapter 11, the first thing, the marriage rod, that has nothing to do with the marriage rod. The marriage rod is a judgment God is going to put on the people, on the people that didn't believe Him. That's what that is. Verse 2 says that tells them to leave out the court in the outer temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentile, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. It's going to be havoc. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. The sackcloth in the Old Testament, when King David lost his son, he'd been praying for his son to get well, and his son never did get well, and he died, and so he put on sackcloth. And he wallowed in the dust and the mud, and they'd put ashes on him, and they'd cry and they'd holler and they'd scream. And when he got through with all that, he went and took a shower. He got his servants to feed him, and he said, "Lord, forgive me. I can't bring my son back, but I can go where he's at." That is exactly these two witnesses. This is a prelude. This is a station break in this. All hell has been going on the face of the earth. But now, God has two witnesses there. And those two witnesses, now we don't know this. I mean, the theologians, the Bible, pretty much says that it's Moses and Elijah. That's why I mentioned it. Nearly every book you pick up, these people that's supposed to know everything about the Bible, they say that it's Moses and Elijah, and it makes sense. They're in front of the temple. And people say, there's a lot of people looking for the temple to be destroyed. The temple's been destroyed a long time ago. The temple's been destroyed. What they're going to do is rebuild the temple. They're going to rebuild the temple. And so God says He's going to give these two. Verse 3 says, "I'll give Him power to my witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the olive tree and the two lampstands before God and on the earth." And that olive tree means peace. The lampstand, the church, the tower. Remember in the very first of Revelation we started reading, talking about the lampstands and that the churches, the seven churches, the good churches, the bad churches. And God These two, this is the last warning. Now, I don't want to be here. I guess I'm, and this station break in the middle of the tribulation period, and we're going to be gone. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about this. But the thing about it is, Revelation chapter 11 is really a chapter of love, mercy, and grace, because God stops right in the middle of all this before he starts another woe. And woe means destruction is coming. Before he starts up again, he sends two witnesses for 3 years or 3.5 years, whatever it is, to witness to people that people might be saved. And there's 144,000 Jews that are going to preach the gospel to people. You ever thought about that? If you left behind. But if you're not, you're going to be with God. Hang with me. Jesus had disciples. And those 11 disciples, 12, whatever it was, they set the world on fire. It's still going because of what they've done. Think about what 144,000 Jewish preachers are going to be doing if you left behind. But God said he has given all power to these two men, these two witnesses, whether it's Moses and Elijah, whoever it is, they're going to be there. And they're going to be able to stop the rain. They're going to be able to bring fire down from heaven. They're going to do all of these things. Verse 6 says, again, let me read it about the rain. We done read it in Isaiah. These have the power to shut heaven, that there's no rain in the days of their prophecy. And they have power to, over the water to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with plagues, often as they desire. Is there any famines going on in this world we're in right now? You know, Matthew 24 said there'll be famines and pestilence. Food shortages and infectious disease. That's what it means. We just went through one of the infectious diseases with the COVID-19. God gives us this, people, that we would have enough sense, and as stupid as I am, I can understand it. Why can't you? Why don't you understand, people? We're not here forever. We're just passing through. We're here today. We may be gone tomorrow. But God's word needs to go on until he comes, until all this is over. We need to give our life, our heart, our time, our effort to the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever way that he tells us to give him. Verse 7 says, and when they finish, when these two witnesses finish, it gets funny to me. When these two finish, and when they finish their testimony, the beast has ascended out of the bottomless pit. Now this is the devil. In Revelation, this is when the devil enters the scene. The Antichrist. The devil. He enters the scene. He says, the beast will come out of the bottomless pit and will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. Oh boy, look, we got it. With the world, the politicians in Washington, D.C., all the gay agenda, all the Black Lives Matter, yeah, I said that. All of the people that think they got their thing going the way they want it to go, oh boy, they're going to be jumping. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us, and theologians, they're going to be having a deal like Christmas. They're going to be passing out presents because we're getting our way. The devil come out of the pit. The Antichrist come out of the pit. He killed those two witnesses. CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, they're going to all have their cameras set on them witnesses because the world's going to see them witnesses. They're going to be right there. They're dead. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom, and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, Jerusalem. Then those from the people, tribes, and tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their bodies to be put into grave. They're going to be showing them on all these TV stations. They're going to have all these egghead doctors, all these preachers that didn't make it in the rapture, they're going to be sitting there on that TV screen just like they will in that. Something happens, they're going to have somebody shoot somebody. If we have a mass shooting today, and pray God we don't, they're going to have some analyst there trying to analyze why the gun killed the people. They ain't got enough sense to know you got to put bullets in the gun and pull the trigger for it to kill somebody, but they're going to blame it on the gun. They're going to be rooting and roving. They're going to be passing out presents. They did. The devil has won. We have won. But look what happens. It says, verse 10, it says, "And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. Make merry, send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth." See, they... just like I'm tormenting some people right now, because I'm telling you the way God wants it told, you don't want to hear it. You want to keep on doing what you're doing and hope that you got enough fire insurance to keep your butt out of hell, but you don't if you don't know Jesus Christ. The witnesses resurrect. Verse 11. "Now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God, entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them." Can you imagine? Them old boys are laying over there, and the flies were buzzing, and the buzzards were picking on them. And they passing out presents and having parties, killing lambs, barbecue, and they having a big time. Drinking Budweiser, that's their drink. And them two witnesses are going to come up. What they going to say then? "Oh my God." I was telling somebody this morning, I hope my brother watches it. Telling somebody this morning, it's kind of like, I thought Reagan was bad. He stole my transistor radio one time and gave it to a girl. And when her grandma got home, she called Daddy and said, Did Reagan give Nancy a little old red radio? He done told. He didn't know nothing about the radio. Well, he thought he had it made. He didn't give his girlfriend my radio and got away with it. And these people are going to think they had it made. You know, they get away with their all the agendas they got going on. They do. And all of a sudden, these people come back to life. All of a sudden, Daddy got that phone call and he told Reagan, "Thought you told me you didn't know nothing about that radio." That is when God is going to destruct this world. When this happens with them two witnesses, and it says, "Now after 3.5 days, they come to life." God breathes, puts breath in them. "And they heard a loud voice from heaven calling them, 'Come up here.'" Can you imagine? All these people all over the world that's lost, that hadn't believed these two witnesses are... they just cut. They're having a big time. Men's marrying men, women marrying women. They drinking, molesting children. Everything that they doing in this world that we live in today, as hard as it may seem to y'all this morning that God has given me to preach to y'all, they're all right there, and all of a sudden God hollers from heaven, "Hey, come up here." Can you imagine what they say when they're gone? It's time to get somewhere. And I remember Daddy coming in the door and grabbing that belt off the back of that chair. It was time for me and Reagan to get somewhere. Under the bed, out here in these woods, we'd get somewhere because it's fixing to happen. But you know what? It's too late. Gonna be too late then, people. Today is the day of salvation. Today. This morning, right now, you can do something about it. Verse 12 says, "And they heard the voice from heaven saying, 'Come up here.' And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell in the earthquake. 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God in heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming." Even in all of this, even in what we just talked about, God is witnessing to people to please make up your mind. Because there is coming a day, and we're going to get there. In the We are going to get there in our going through Revelation if God don't come first. God is sick and tired of this mess that's going on. He's sick and tired of police officers getting blamed for trying to protect the public. He's sick and tired of these people going into people's houses and if somebody shoot them and they go to jail instead of the crook. He's sick and tired of homosexual agenda. He's sick and tired of the Black Lives Matter agenda because God, all life, it matters to God. Every life, red, yellow, black, and white. Everybody belongs to God and God loves every one of us. Jesus went to that cross and shed his blood for one reason, and that's that we go to heaven and live with him because we already read. He looked at his vineyard and it made him sick. And he decided to destroy it. God's looking down at this world. And the only reason he hadn't come this morning is because somebody hadn't been saved. Somebody, he loves, he is putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. Like a school teacher used to tell you, okay, if you don't be quiet in class, I'm going to send that note home to your daddy. And I keep on that, If you don't shut up, Glenn, I'm going to send you a note to your daddy. And I just kept on. And finally one day I get off the school bus, it's too late. Somehow, some way, he knew. You may not think God's looking, but he's looking. He knows. And that day's coming. And if you haven't given your life to him, Jesus loves you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whosoever believes in him, not perish, but have everybody, whoever believes, just believe in him. That's all he asks us. Trust him. Don't let this world get you down. He's got the whole world in his hand and he is in control. If you don't know him this morning, we're fixing to give an invitation. I ask you to stand to your feet right now as we pray. Father God, I come to you this morning. Lord, I know that there's people that don't know. There's people that don't even believe what I just read out of your word, God, and your word says it plainly. God, I pray that your precious Holy Spirit, we can't do nothing without that. That it is speaking to the hearts of people this morning. And God, help them to make up their mind, God, before it's too late. It's going to be a terrible thing, Lord. When we wait and wait and wait, and all of a sudden, them clouds are going to roll back. The trumpet of the Lord is going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. And the church is going to fall. And when those clouds roll back, Lord, I pray that nobody in this church this morning, that nobody listening to this on the computer, Lord, will have to see that. God, help them to realize. Whether you come today or tomorrow, Lord, you can come to us at any second, God, because when we draw our last breath, we know and believe your word. Hebrews 9:27. For it is appointed a man to die. And then the judgment. Help them to realize there's not no place they're going to go and hide. It's too late. So God, I pray that right now today that they make that men with you. God, that they give their life, Father, for you. And God, that they just trust you, confess with their mouth, believe in their heart that you are Christ and they shall be saved. And Father, we give you this in your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord.